We ended off last time beginning to discuss the machlokas, let's call it, between Stimas Lashon HaMechaber and the Magen Avraham, as to whether there's any restriction on a fully healthy person taking medicine for the sake of refuah. So again, Stimas Lashon HaMechaber in Sif Lamed Zayin was an Elo Shem Michosh Mutter, that if a person has no ailment at all, that it's mutter to take medicine, even if his intention is a refuah. And that's how the Beis Yosef understood the Torah, that even though the Lashon HaTor is im ochel v'shoso so l'ra'avo l'tzam'o v'ein lo chol v'shari, that if a person is consuming this medicine because he's hungry or thirsty and he's not sick, it's mutter. So literally, the Torah is only addressing a case of someone who is taking the medicine to fill him up, but not the refuah. But the Beis Yosef understood in the Torah that that's lav dafka, that's the normal case that he's talking about. But in a chanami, if a person who is totally healthy takes medicine for medicine's sake as well, that would still be mutter. And the Magen Avraham argues, Magen Avraham in Sif Katan Mem Gimel, writes as follows, Sifkata Mem Gimel, quotes the Torah, Mashma, Im Osa L'Refuah Aser. So for reading of the Torah is that if your intention is for refuah, it'll be Aser, even if he's a Bari. And he quotes a number of Marmakomas that he thinks supports this position, including Lashon HaRambam, Parakaf Aleph Halacha Kaf to Halacha Kaf Aleph, Parakaf Aleph Halacha Kaf to Halacha Kaf Aleph. Asa Labari Lehisrapos Bishabis Gzeira Vishema Yishak Samamanim. Even a healthy person is not allowed to engage in Rufu on Shabbos because of the concern of Shkika Samamanim. Ketzad Layochal Dvarim Shena Machal Briyim. Has a list. Fine. And that's what the Prima Gadim assumes lahalacha, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume lahalacha as well in Sivkat and Kuf Kaf, like the Magen Avraham, that even a fully healthy person is not permitted to take medicine on Shabbos. However, the Be'er Lacha does acknowledge, Be'er Lacha Dibur Maskal Abal, that the Magen Avraham's reading of the Rambam is not necessarily compelling. The Magen Avraham read the Rambam to say, Asa Labari Lisrapis B'Shabbos, that any healthy person is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. The Be'er Lacha suggests, maybe Bari in the Rambam is not fully dafka. Maybe Bari means Bari with a mechush. Someone who's generally healthy. Healthy relative to cholish eva sakana. Healthy relative to someone with a more severe illness. But he still has at least a mechush for alma. But in a chanami, according to the Magen Avraham, perhaps if a person is totally healthy, it would be mutter to take medicine. Rabbi Karr points out that that's still not the simple view of the Rambam. The simple view of the Rambam is that there's no qualification. When the Rambam says that a Bari is not allowed to take medicine, it means a Bari, not a Bari, a relative Bari is still a Semechosh. But the Be'er Lacha at least acknowledges, he thinks that it's possible to read the Rambam that way. But bottom line, in Mishnah Berurah, he assumes the Halacha like the Magen Avraham. Ramosha, in his tshuva about vitamins, initially assumes that the Magen Avraham is relevant here, that if we assume like the Magen Avraham, that a healthy person is not allowed to take any medicine, that that would apply to vitamins as well. Then he suggests that maybe the Magen Avraham's position is not as absolute as we were assuming. Maybe even the Magen Avraham isn't talking about a totally healthy person. maybe the Magen Avraham would acknowledge that a totally healthy person is allowed to take medicine. And what's the case of the Bari that he's talking about is not? He means someone who has a weak constitution, someone who doesn't have any particular illness, but he's, generally speaking, a weak person, and he wants to take some medicine in order to give him some extra strength, in order to increase his constitution, to improve his constitution. So where there's no particular illness that's present, but a person is generally weak, that's what the Magen Avraham would say, taking medicine is asur. But if a person is 100% healthy, then maybe the Magen Avraham would agree medicine would be mutter. So Moshe entertains that maybe for someone who's totally healthy, he just takes vitamins on a regular basis because it gives him some additional extra nutrients, then maybe that's the same thing as eating spinach. Maybe that's not refuah, and maybe even the Magen Avraham would acknowledge that would be mutter. So I'm there.
Chazak is mizgo, I guess, could be either seeing chazak what's already strong, or
right.
You can't really say that the Moshe is squeezing it out of the Magen Avraham.
What do you mean squeezing it?
No, I was just thinking, but it doesn't seem to be right, but that's included in the chazak is mizgo. In other words, he's just saying the chazak, but it's not true.
Okay, now Rabbi Karp thinks that even Ramosha, maybe even Ramosha's kula to allow a totally healthy person who takes vitamins on a regular basis for the extra nutrients, so maybe that's only where the vitamins taste good. There's some good or at least not bad taste, so then maybe you could argue that's more like a machal briyim. But if they're bitter-tasting vitamins, then Rabbi Karp thinks that maybe even Moshe's suggested kula wouldn't apply. Yeah.
If someone has like a certain vitamin deficiency, deficient in vitamin D,
right?
Is that considered like a weak composition?
So again, that would depend on what is the doctor's orders, meaning if not taking those vitamins on a regular basis could lead to a greater choli, so then like any medicine that would be mutter according to many poskim. If as some suggest, Rabbi Bandler points this out, that even if you take vitamins on a regular basis, but definitely better even if you could find a kula to take it your Friday dose before Shabbos and your Shabbos dose on Mosei Shabbos, if that's possible, if that has the same effect. If someone has a medical condition where it's necessary to take it on a more regular basis, so then you have to assess what's the need. If it's a chol shema sakani, definitely take it. If he has no choli at all, and it's the kind of lechazik is misko, so that's where the samosha comes in, whether we view him as basically a healthy person who just takes nutritional supplements, or is there some kind of ailment that is present where we wouldn't allow taking medicine unless there's a concern that it's going to end up being a chol shem
basakan. So just to understand the Magen Avraham in Svara again, so he believes in the concept of a machal briyim, right?
Right, so machal briyim is only mutter where it's... There are two separate things. There's machal briyim, and there's medicine. So we're talking, machal briyim is a separate discussion. Here we're talking about medicine. Can a healthy person take medicine? So the Magen Avraham says, a healthy person can take, like pills are not machal briyim, let's say, right? Pills are medicine. So can a healthy person take pills on Shabbos? Where his intention is lerfuah as opposed to leravol with some else? So if he's taking it because he's hungry, and that's all the food he has, that's the only thing he can ingest, so that'll be mutter. If he's saying it for some medicinal purpose, then the Magen Avraham says that Shkika Saman applies there as well, just like by a Mechush and a Zasser.
So he would say, though, by chicken soup, which is a Machal Briya.
That's something else.
Even though you're healthy, it's still totally fine, even if you're doing it with Shem Refuah.
Correct. That's Beferish. That's the beginning of the Sif. Correct. Okay.
So, isn't it all falling on Musaf and also, so, like sour, sweet, sweet fish,
yeah.
Vitamin C, pills, like chewable, that are still...
Yeah, but you're still not... You're not usually taking it because it tastes good. They happen to taste good.
Yeah,
you're not taking it the Ravel and Samo. Rabbi Kar's point is just that even if you're going to be Makel, to consider it... he thinks even if you're going to be Makel, to treat it like vegetables, but it has to at least taste like vegetables. But that's not necessarily, you don't have to accept that reading. You wouldn't necessarily have read Ramosha that way. Okay. But Shmir Shabbos paskins l'chomer across the board. He doesn't even accept Ramosha's potential kula. Shmir Shabbos perek lamadal et sifkaf. Perek lamadal et sifkaf. He says you have to be machmer across the board not to take vitamins on Shabbos. And he quotes there in footnote pevav from Rishon Zalman, that the only case of Shlomo Zalman was willing to be Mako was if a person takes some kind of nutritional supplement on a regular basis at every meal, so then it's considered like food.
So it's totally on the individual.
That presentation sounds like it's totally on the individual to the extent that it's something, there's no choli at all, a person's not sick in any way, but... And he's taking this for some kind of nutritional supplement on a regular basis.
Right. But for other people, I mean, isn't Mulkot Mosa impersonal, so to speak? The concept of Mulkot Mosa or not Mulkot Mosa, doesn't it?
Well, we're not, I don't think we're invoking a formal halakhic category of Mulkot Mosa. The concern isn't what other people think. It's what is... How is this being consumed? If it's something that's consumed on a regular basis as a tachlif mazon, I think is his term, as a something in exchange for food, or a food supplement, or a food, that's a better English word for tachlif.
Substitute,
right. So then he thinks that's not medicine.
So it's a different category. We're not going to invoke Mulkot Mosa. I mean, isn't Mulkot Mosa really what determines what something is a medicine on? Isn't that a kosher beinah? Sorry, sheinah?
So sometimes...
Probably was Mulkot, if not Mulkot.
Well, again, in some context, that depends on what the intention is in using it. Right, if something is used for medicine purposes or not. So in some instances, that's what's koveya. Here we're saying, if it's used just as a nutritional substitute, then that would have the status of food and not as medicine. I think that's what he's saying for himself, Tom. Shmir Shabbos also says in Paraglamet Zayin Sif Aleph, that if you have a pregnant woman who needs to take her prenatal vitamins because the doctor recommends it, so then... Again, if it's possible to take it before and after Shabbos, that's better. If it needs to be taken on Shabbos, so a pregnant woman presumably has the status linyan zeh of a cholish embo sakana, if the medical assessment is that she needs to take these vitamins regularly, and therefore it would be mutter. Let's just look at one more Mishnah Brura on this topic, Sifkat and Kuf Yotes. Mishnah Brura writes, that if a person has a michush, so he has a choli tzas, so then, even if he's consuming this medicine because he's hungry, it's still going to be aser. V'atam, the kevin dehu cholev, zehu rufu aso, yomu shel rufu osezeh. Because since he's sick, and this is the medicine, even if his intention is for the nutritional value because he's hungry, but because it has the appearance of refuah, it's us. And the Bir Halacha points out that this is based on a Rashi. as Rashi writes in Daf Kuftes, that when are you allowed to eat, when is a chola allowed to eat food that sometimes could be used as medicine? The Rashi's lashon is litzamo im eino chola. He can have it if he's thirsty, if he's not a chola. Mashma, that if he is a chola, then even if he's having it because he's thirsty, it's still going to be usur.
Where's this Rashi?
I believe it's on Kuftes Amud Aleph. And then he quotes all the Rishonim that disagree. So he thinks this is Machtalia and Machlokas Rishonim, whether if you have a Chola, the Nechush Ba'alma, who wants to take medicine because he's hungry, whether that's going to be us or not. Okay. Take a look now at Sif Mem Beis. Ein mis'amelin, and you're not allowed to exercise or exert yourself, hainu, shedores ala guf bekoach, to apply pressure to stomp on a body with force, kedei sheyiaga biazia, in order to wear him out and make him sweat, you can't exert pressure on the stomach of a constipated baby. Okay, so this first in of Amos Amlin, that's the Mishnah on Kufnim Zayinim and Aleph. Rashi says, what's the concern of Miss Amlin? What does it mean? L'shashish b'koach, to massage, to move around, I guess massage is probably the best word, with force, which we'll come back to. The Rambam writes, Perakof Aleph Halacha Kaches, Perakof Aleph Halacha Kaches, Shedorsim Al Gufa Bekoach, Achi Yagavi Azia, so you apply pressure with force until he sweats. The aser shaser ligas atzma kedishia, that you're not allowed to touch someone, liyageis, after you're not allowed to wear someone out in order to make him sweat, v'neishi yikir refuah, because that is like refuah. And that's what's reflected in the formulation of Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Mem Beis. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Kuf Lamed, kedishia yiaga v'yazia, v'hi v'chal refuah. Vein lahakshos, so there's no concern. What's the connection between applying pressure on the body to make someone sweat and shtika samimanim? Yesh lomar, dekeman shelufamim v'vien azeh alachola gamken aydeh samimanim chayshin and sheyaseh refuah acheres. But no, we're concerned that because sometimes a person will take medicine in order to make him sweat, so even if you're not taking the medicine here, but if you do another activity to make you sweat, then you might end up taking medicine that'll make you sweat. As opposed to what you have in Sif Mem Gimel, Modu Lichvos Kostam, Ala Tabur, La Loso, the different forms of a pressure that are mutter, because there, these are not things that are done through medicine. Okay, the Berlacha points out, Dibur Maskil Kedei, as we just said, that the Lashon HaMechaber is based on the Rambam. But Rashi, who says Meshasheh B'Koach, is Mashma even if you're not inducing sweat. What's the problem of Meshasheh B'Koach if it's not that you're inducing sweat? Some explain that is a problem of the Nechol, It's a weekday activity. That's not Ubdin Duchal. The Svidi Yesh points out in Tshuva, Chayli Bey Simen Lamed, Chayli Bey Simen Lamed, that whether you can massage someone on Shabbos should depend on this Machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam. But according to Rashi, there's no concern that you're going to induce a sweat. That's not the issue. The issue is Ubdin Duchal. So Ubdin Duchal could apply to a regular massage as well. According to the Rambam, that the concern is that you're inducing a sweat. If you do something that applies pressure, but not in a way that induces a sweat, it would be mutter. Sitz Eliezer writes, Chela Gebei Simen Mem Hei, Chela Gebei Simen Mem Hei, that where your intention is not to induce a sweat, then that kind of pressure is going to be mutter. That's relevant in the context of physical therapy. If someone's not a cholish eim sakana, someone has a meichus rama, let's say, or less, and they have to do some form of physical therapy on a regular basis, even on Shabbos, the Nishma Savram quotes from Shlomo Zalman and from Rav Neubert that physical therapy would be mutter. I mean, in the context of Nishma Savram, it quotes, he's talking about a cholish eim sakana, but from the presentation, it sounds like he's really talking not only about a cholish eim sakana, but even less, but you don't have to come on to this for a cholish eim sakana. Because even where a refuah would be usher, the presentation sounds like physical therapy, if it's not meant to induce sweat, it may be mutter. Nishma Savram quotes analogy to antibiotics. That if it's something that you begin, in order for it to be effective, it has to be done on a daily basis, you begin the regimen before Shabbos, then you can continue on Shabbos. That would be true even if there was a Shrika Samadhan concern.
What about Rashi?
So Rashi sounds like not acceptable halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, the formulation is like the Rambam. And Rabbi Bonner writes this as well, that if your intention is not lazim, then physical therapy would be mutter.
What if your intention is not to be lazim, but let's say it's going to cause sweat?
Yes, yeah, so the Tzitzel Yezer there sounds like, even if it's a... if it's... it happens, but that's not the intent. The Lashon HaRambam, Kadeshi Yagavi Aziya, is that that's your intent. So if it's your intent, that's usher. If it's a byproduct, that doesn't concern us. Okay. Fine, so let's move on now to begin discussing Yoledes. So it's clear from the Mishnah of the Gemara in Shabbos Kafkas of the days that on the one hand, a Yoledes is considered a Cholash Yesh Basakana. And there's some instances in which where potentially more makel than a regular cholish yesh b'sakana. Right, the most example that we discussed earlier of yisuvei daita, of lighting a lamp for a yoledes, even if she's a suma, if it's going to put her more at ease. So again, on the one hand, a yoledes is a cholish yesh b'sakana with perhaps a stronger allowance for yisuvei daita than a run of the mill cholish yesh b'sakana, subject to machlokas as we discussed. But on the other hand, there's the Magen Mishnah, Perek Beis, Halach Yud Aleph, that we also mentioned previously, Magen Mishnah, Perek Beis, Halach Yud Aleph, that the requirement of a shinoi is limited to yoledes, as opposed to other cholish yesh b'sakana, which we discussed previously as well, right? Do machlokas machab rabah, beginning of Shin Kav Ches, earlier, do we require a shinoi if it's not going to affect the care of a regular kol hashesh v'sakana? But Evan agrees that when it comes to a yoledis, we do require a shinoi. So on the one hand, it's if the yoledis is a kol hashesh v'sakana where the het teira used to be daita, maybe even more pronounced than a regular kol hashesh v'sakana. On the other hand, it could be daka by yoledis, we require a shinoi. And why is that? So that's what the Magen Mishnah explains, that this is a different kind of sakana than the regular kol hashesh v'sakana, because this is part of teva, and even though there is a potential loss of life, but statistically it's a very small chance, chai min aleph, or less than chai min aleph, and that's why we require a shinoi tavol for malacha done for a yoledis. That's quoted by the Magen Avraham. Let's take a look at it in the Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Shin Lamed. Magen Avraham is Sifkatan Gimbal, Mishnah Berurah is Sifkatan Hay. So if you have Mishnah Berurah in front of you, take a look at the beginning of Simon Shin Lamed. Mechaber writes, Yoledis hi kechol shiyesh lo sakana, umechalin ala hashab sechol ma shetzricha, Kar machachami makam makam, from the Alden, from Adlika Maner, Afilu Hisuma, from Mikal Makam, Bakal Mashi Chalun Lashanas Mishanin, Kigon, in Srikim Lahavi Lakli, Medea La Haverta, Tali Besara, Bechain Kal Kayotse Bazet. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Hay, Mishanin, Bafilu Lavada Amr Mishin Mishin Kav Kesef Yudalid, the Gabbai Pikuach Nefesh Lo Bayu Shinoi. So even if you hold in general by a generic Kol Hashesh V'Sakana, there's no need for a Shinoi like the Mechaber there. Hachashani, V'nei Shekeev HaYoledis Davar Tivi, who is natural, V'ein Achas Me'elef Mesa Machmas Leida, L'fika Hachmir V'Lashanos, Magen Avraham V'Shei Magen Mishnah Me'iri. V'kol Zev D'Lak Ikav L'Kol. Obviously that's only where there's not going to be a diminution in care. But if shinoi is going to cause a delay in the care, so then you do what's necessary without a shinoi. Okay. Magen Avraham in Sifkatan Beis raises the following. That did in the Gemara that you can light a candle for yoledis even if she's a suma. Says the Magen Avraham Sifkatan Beis. Now the tema came into lochaz yaser kamashulan yisuvei miyas v'daita sari ikamidi chazi chaverta v'avidli. That's the Gemara says that we're concerned about her yishav hadas, that even if she can't see, she wants to know that the people tending her to her can see. Okay, the kasha as the Magen Avraham. Yomer b'fenesha liku ader, v'tisyash v'daita. So if she's a suma, let's say we did it. Let's not even say we did. So we're just concerned that she should have the yishav hadas. So tell her that we lit the candle. And don't light it. And she'll be no worse off.
What does it say that sheker is nidhid for Yom Shabbos?
The assumption of the question is that it's intuitive. The Afshar, Dimikal Makam, Hiroem Maraner. So, answer number one, Magen Avraham, is in a Hanami, in principle, you're right. But even if she's blind, but she could still have enough sensitivity that she could tell whether this is a candle lit or not. Okay, so if you could fool her, great, but you won't be able to fool her. Inami, or she's not going to trust you, so she's going to say, how many fingers do I have up? And you won't be able to answer, and she'll realize that you're tricking her. Okay. So again, the assumption of the question stands. In principle, the Magen Avraham assumes that if you could trick her by not lighting the candle, then that would be better, but it's not foolproof, so that's why you're allowed to light the candle for the Summa. Okay.
She also know when they're like feeling around for stuff and like
okay, but The Mishnah Berurah points out, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sukkot and Beis, Sukkot and Gimel, sorry. Ner Imulayla, what are we talking about, that you're allowed to light a lamp for the Yoledis as if it's at night? The Afa Pi Shechad Rosah Yodos Lassos Lakol Ivar Minasach Allah, even if the people there are competent enough that they can do whatever necessary in the dark. Afa Pi Kein Kimlu Lachachamim Delam Yasva Daita the Yoledis Kishashiruya Bechoshef. But still, we assume that she's not going to have proper Yishavadas if it's dark. Says the Sharetzion Sifkatun Beis Levush Shara Kronim the Tirtzu Bezeh Kush Achronim Shalom Lagan Avram the Sifkatun Beis. What's the Kush Achronim Lagan Avram? So Lagan Avram says Mikol Makom Sarach Ion Lamali Taima Demiyas V'Daita. So why do you have to come out to Yishav Adas? Halo Sficha Malaka Saner Liras Masha Sficha. But don't you need to see what you're doing? So the answer is not always. Sometimes you could have a midwife who's a doctor who can work in the dark. So even if they can work in the dark, there still is Yisuvei Dait. Okay. So within this requirement of the Mishana, to the extent that you can be Mishana, is included being Mema'i B'Malacha. That there, if you could have the malacha done ayidei nachri relative to Yisrael, better to have the malacha done ayidei nachri. If you can minimize in any way the malachas involved, better to minimize the malachas. And we'll probably talk about some applications of that next time. Ramosha, in a famous Juba, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Beis, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Beis, was asked whether a woman in labor who needs to travel to the hospital on Shabbos can bring along someone else for the ride. Can her husband come with her? Can someone else come with her to accompany her to the hospital? So initially, Ramosha thinks that this isn't necessarily derived from the din of Yisuvei Daita. But maybe the din of Yisuvei Daita in the Gemara in the context of a Ner is limited to a situation or a concern, a fear, that is common to all women in this situation. That the extreme case involves a Summa. But leaving aside a Summa, any woman is going to be put at ease, or more at ease, if there's light, and she's going to be concerned in the dark that the people tending to her will not be able to tend to her properly. Ramosh initially says, well, maybe having someone accompany you to the hospital is not as universal a need as having light. Maybe not all women feel that they need someone to travel with them to the hospital. But then Ramosh assumes, no, that Yisuvei Daita is relevant to this situation as well. What's more, if the vehicle is already going to the hospital, there isn't any additional Chilul Shabbos of consequence involved in someone else traveling with the Yoledes, especially if the hospital is within the Tchum. They live outside the Tchum, so then maybe there is an additional consideration. But if the hospital is within the Tchum, there's no additional malacha going on if someone else travels in the car, and therefore Moshe thinks that in the end it is subsumed under the heter of Yisuvei Daita, and if a woman wants someone to accompany her to the hospital, that person may do so. Yeah?
Without returning?
Returning, that's somebody else. That we discussed returning from Pikuach Nefesh situations previously. But most of those considerations wouldn't apply here. So, okay. Shlomo Zalman writes this as well.
Tchum is out of the question?
I'm sorry?
Tchum.
I don't think it's out of the question, but it maybe makes it a little more complicated. Moshe ultimately would be makel even if it's outside the Tchum, because of Yisuvei Daita. But if it's in the Tchum, it's even better. Shmir Shabbos, sorry, Paschus this way as well. Paraglam Vav Siv Zayin. Paraglam Vav Siv Zayin, that someone can accompany a Yoledis in the car to the hospital. And he quotes this in the name of the Chazon Ish as well, that you can do that even L'Chachila, without making cheshvanas.
Is this only if she asks for a company?
Definitely if she asks, and if she doesn't ask, but you know that she wants it, so then as well.
Isn't it more a matter by Ayolatus? She's giving birth already, or she is giving birth, as opposed to someone who is going
good.
To
give birth? So we'll get to that in a little while. At what stage you should go to the hospital, right?
This is the job ahead. Typically, people go to the hospital before they get to
right. So part of the
stage.
Part of the attachment is because if you're going to wait till then, it'll be too late. So in the Hakdama to the Sefer Torah Yoledes is Reb Zilberstein's Sefer on childbirth and Shabbos, which just came out in a new edition that's about four times the thickness of the old one. So the Hakdama, this is all for the old one, but I'm assuming whatever's the old one is the new one, plus. So in the Hakdama to the Sefer Torah Yoledes, he quotes from the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim, Simen Taf Shin Sadi Gimel, Tashin Sadi Gimel, that a person whose wife is pregnant, once she reaches her ninth month, he should daven that she shouldn't give birth on Shabbos, so that they won't have to be Mechal Shabbos. So says Sefer Chassidim. So Rabbi Zilberstein points out that fits with the Gemara Nida Lamaches. The Gemara Nida Lamaches says that the Chassidim HaRishonim would time conception to ensure that the birth wouldn't take place on Shabbos. Meaning Chazal's understanding is that there's a basically 3-day window of the length of the standard length of gestation. So they would time not to be Mishamish Mitaseyan the beginning of the week, the end of the week, or the middle of the week, so that the baby wouldn't be born on Shabbos. So Reb Zilberstein raises the question, well, in second, Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra on Shabbos anyway. So why do you have to go through these exercises to avoid having a baby on Shabbos? So that we should have a baby on Shabbos. Bottom line, Pikuach Nefesh is Mutra on Shabbos. They suggest that, even though that's true, but oftentimes if you're in a situation of Piguach Nefesh, because of the pressure involved and because of the pressure of the Bahala involved, so you may end up being Mechal Shabbos in a way that's not permissible. So it's true that, let's say, Piguach Nefesh is Hutra and Shabbos, or Shabbos is Hutra and they Piguach Nefesh, but you still don't want to put yourself in that situation because in the heat of the moment you may make judgment errors and end up being Mechal Shabbos in a way that's not permissible.
3 days of gestation?
Oh. No, that the full gestation is either 270, 271, or 272 days. I think.
I mean, isn't there a difference between timing the conception,
right,
and then everything, you know, then everything falls naturally, and as opposed to, well, she's in her ninth month, and now we want to either extend. We're asking Hashem to extend inappropriately or to, I mean, if it's going to come on Shabbos, it's going to come on Shabbos. I'm saying there's probably a best day for her to give birth. And Hashem has already, by the ninth month, it's right. Already going to come out on the day that Hashem, I mean, the way that normally. And now you're talking about it should be.
Ein lanu Esek ben Estara, so I can't answer that question.
I know. It sounds like we're trying to manipulate something that Hashem has already planned and. It's not right to request a change in something like that.
Okay. Don't know. So, it's a Sefer Chassidim. It's not a Sefer Chassidim.
I know, but even Sefer Chassidim would be...
Okay, so I'm not qualified to answer that question. Okay. The Magen Avraham quotes a different part of the Sefer Chassidim in Sukkot and Aleph. The Magen Avraham writes, Lachein, kishetagia l'chodesh Shi'i, Yazmin Akol Me'er Shabbos, Shelo Yechalu Shabbos. Sefer Chasidim, Tuf Nun He. That come the ninth month, the person should get everything ready before Shabbos, have everything ready to go, should his wife go into labor on Shabbos, to minimize the ensuing Chil Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah quotes this. Mishnah Berurah quotes it with a slight difference. Mishnah Berurah says, Katan Aleph adds a word. Mishnah Berurah writes, Lachay min haro'i le'isha shegiya l'chodesh chi l'hazmin v'kol er Shabbos called Ramin Misrachama. Shema Yizdamin l'idas v'Shabbos v'lo kisach l'chal Shabbos. So the Sefer Chassidim where the Magen Avraham quotes it is Yasmin. And Mishnah Berurah says, min haro'i l'hazmin. That's a notch down, not that one should, but it's appropriate to. The Torah so you led this points out, Parag Beis, but not one, that maybe the Mishnah Berurah downgrades it to a min haro'i, because bottom line, you don't know whether you're going to go into labor on Shabbos. So if you knew for sure, then that would be absolutely imperative to prepare before Shabbos. If you don't know, so then it's min haro'i, but it's not an absolute. So he says that's the difference between this din and what you find in Simon Shin Dalad Mem. In Simon Shin Dalad Mem, in the Ber Alacha Dibur Maskil Mitzum Semes, Shin Dalad Mem 344, Ber Alacha Dibur Maskil Mitzum Semes, Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have a soldier of the army who knows that he's going to be called upon to engage in a blacha d'oraisa on Shabbos, and obviously if he doesn't do that, it would be his pikuach nefesh if he doesn't follow orders. So he's allowed under the circumstances to perform the blacha d'oraisa on Shabbos, but if he has an opportunity to perform that blacha d'oraisa at Erev Shabbos to avoid having to do it on Shabbos, then he's mechuyev to do that blacha on Erev Shabbos to avoid the Chil Shabbos, even though come Shabbos if he needs to do it, that's Bikuach Nefesh, which would be mutter. But if he has a way of avoiding putting himself in the Bikuach Nefesh situation, L'chachila, and doing the Malacha on Erev Shabbos, then he's Mechuyev to do the Malacha on Erev Shabbos. So Silverstein points out, that's the difference between there and here, is there you know you have to do the Malacha D'Oraisa on Shabbos. You already have the instructions, but you can get out of it, so then you're Mechuyev to get out of it before. Here, you don't know if you're going to go into labor on Shabbos, so it's a min haro'i to prepare, but it's not an absolute chiyuv the same way. Shmir Shabbos, Perek Lamed Vav, Sitzayin, Perek Lamed Vav, Sitzayin writes that a woman isn't mechuyeves in her ninth month to spend Shabbos near the hospital. And so he writes in the name of the Chazon Ish and the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman. The woman's not mechuyeves to spend Shabbos near the hospital, if there's any inconvenience involved in doing so. And the Sefer Torah Seyuledes, page Kavav in the old edition, does quote otherwise in the Chazon Ish. He quotes the Chazon Ish as saying that if she has the ability to stay near the hospital, then that is appropriate. In Rav Yashiv Tshuvas, Kovitz Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Gimel, Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Gimel, he writes that the practice of the Chassidim Rishonim, the Gemara Nida, to time their conception to avoid Chil Shabbos, that was the Midas Chassidus. But that's not reflective of any Chiyuv, that you don't have to go, you don't have to inconvenience yourself in a significant way to minimize the Chil Shabbos that would ensue in a Yoledah situation. So pack your bags before Shabbos, that's not really an inconvenience, that's a reasonable preparation. To spend Shabbos near the hospital where that's inconvenient, that's above and beyond what would be required. Rav Schechter does think that it is preferable to stay near a hospital if possible. And Rav Asher Weiss, Shuvas Minchas Asher, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kafei, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kafei, disagrees. And the Tshuva, I don't think that the name of the recipient is printed in the Tshuva, but Tshuva written to Rabbi Shaishefter. Rav Asher thinks that there's no need even, there's nothing more than a Midas Hasidus to stay near Hasbro on Shabbos, and there's no need to do so even L'chatchila.
A lot of big hospitals have big holding apartments.
Usually they don't make those accessible to people who are in their ninth month who aren't in labor yet. Again, all things are equal. If it's not an inconvenience, you have a place to stay, okay? But the question is how much of an inconvenience do you need to sustain under these circumstances? Okay. As far as traveling outside the tchum on Shabbos and preparing to do so, both the Torah say Yoledes and Rabbi Karp is Paraglamet Aleph Se'if Ches, they both point out that it's preferable that whatever you're going to plan to take with you to the hospital on Shabbos, you should be mafkir before Shabbos, because Dvarim Shel Hefker not Kodesh Visa. So there won't be any, if you have Dvarim Shel Hefker, there's no violation of the Nisr Tchumin to remove them from the Tchum. So whatever, you can't be mafkir yourself, so that's not going to help. But as far as whatever objects, whatever items you're going to take with you, that you could be mafkir, and that would minimize the violation of the Nisr Tchumin on Shabbos.
You're
masking
something, but you're retaining full
bialos
over it in terms of...
No, it's Bershusa Ve'ino
Shalav. Okay.
That's Shalav Ve'ino Bershusa. Okay. So when do you call the Mi'alad? That's what the Gemara has. Three criterion. The way it's quoted, Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel, Nikreis Yoledes L'chal Ola Shabbos, Mishe Teshev Ala Mashver, and she sits on the birthing stool, O Misha Shadam Shosis Biyore, the blood starts coming out. O Misha Shachavasa Nosa Sasabi Zosa, when she can't walk anymore, She'ein Bakarach Lahaloch. Came and Shinira Achad Me'elu, Nechal and Olesa Shabbos. So once she had one of these three signs that childbirth is imminent, we're Mechal Shabbos. Says in Mishavur Sukhatan Dal, this is what you saw Meir was getting at before. The Dafka, Le'inyan Advarim, Asher Esher La'asel Sam Le'ichor Ve'ikov. What are we talking about? That you wait to Mechal Shabbos until she has one of these three signs? That's for things that you can wait that long for. La'afi Sarv La'amtin Achenir Echem Egel Siman Ve'ela. Aval Le'inyan Kriyas Chacham Yimachem Rachok, the Chadom of it, to call the midwife, or in our parlance, to travel to the hospital. If the midwife isn't coming to us, we're going to the midwife or the doctor. So for us to go to the hospital, Shemnamtin Ad Shiur Ma'ela Tisachar Achach Malava, if you're going to wait until she has one of these three signs, so then it's going to be too late. Alkei Mishashim Argeshes Tzas Afil B'Safek Moshe V'Kriyasa Afil V'Chok Yom Parzo. So once the person begins the earlier signs of labor, once she has whatever space contractions, then you're allowed to call the Mi'aledes / go to the hospital. Okay. I think we'll stop here for today. Next time we'll talk a little bit about other applications of the Ma'at B'Malacha. We'll talk about Ribui B'Shi'urim and use of a birthing coach on Shabbos. And then that will be the end of our Rufu B'Shabbos unit.